Chapter 5 Service Availability. The previous chapter examined issues regarding the planning of disability services, considering the role of person-centered planning, and barriers to effective planning. This chapter examines the delivery of services, focusing on the availability of different service types across New South Wales and access to these services. Issues regarding intake and assessment, vacancy management processes and service eligibility are examined, as is the role of waiting lists in the provision of disability services. This chapter also examines access to and availability of culturally appropriate services to people with disability. Chapter 6 examines the level of unmet need in specific service types and provides additional examination of issues regarding availability and access to these service types. Accessing services. 5.1. Access to services is a key issue in people with disabilities' relationship with ADHC. It was raised repeatedly throughout the inquiry, and has been addressed in many chapters in the committee's report. This section examines issues regarding availability and access to disability services by service users, carers and their families. 5.2. Ms. Amelia Stair, Senior Policy Officer, Disability Council of New South Wales, summarised issues that are faced by some service users when attempting to access disability services. I sat in on most of the consultations for Stronger Together 2 that were recently held. It is still very alarming and very hard to hear parents saying, "I have an extraordinary son or daughter with a disability. I know I am a good parent, but I am extraordinarily exhausted with the system." Whether it is getting into the system, whether it is servicing the system, whether it is getting the right services, whether it is about being able to navigate linking to another system, there still seems to be a level of overlay that parents and people caring for people with disabilities find just too hard to get through. 1.5.3. Dr. Robert Leitner, Chairperson of the New South Wales Association of Doctors in Developmental Disability, ADID, stated that the current system has a lack of focus on the needs of service users, families, and there is a perception that the system has barriers that limit access to services. 2.5.4. Mr. Greg Killeen, a service user and policy and advocacy officer of Spinal Cord Injuries Australia, also identified barriers to accessing disability services. Mr. Killeen stated that there is inequality in the current financial means testing of people with disability, which exclude assessment of expenses. As many government services are means tested against income and assets, the application forms always seek details of applicants' income, but never seek information about the applicant's expenses. The majority of people with disability have extra. 1. Ms. Amelia Stair, Senior Policy Officer, Disability Council of New South Wales, Evidence, 9 August 2010, p. 29. 2. Submission 94, Dr. Robert Leitner, Chairperson, New South Wales Association of Doctors in Developmental Disability, p. 17. Report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 1. Legislative Council - Unavoidable costs associated with having a disability that the general society does not have, including higher costs, including wheelchair accessible taxis, even with applying the New South Wales government's taxi transport subsidy scheme. It is still relatively expensive for people with disability to travel when the wheelchair accessible taxis are their only accessible transport option. Extra water, as it takes longer to have a shower, extra gas and electricity due to people with neurological conditions such as multiple sclerosis and spinal cord injury not being able to regulate body temperature and having heating and cooling appliances running for longer periods of the day for longer periods of the year, equipment, aids and appliances, as well as assistive technology, personal care support services and respite. 3.5.5. Mr. Killeen recommended that this inequality of eligibility criteria and unregulated co-payment or fee for service for all government provided or funded services needs to be addressed by the New South Wales government to understand the financial impact on people with disability that require multiple services and programs. 4.5.6. Ms. Diana Kyan, Executive Director, Multicultural Disability Advocacy Association, identified barriers faced by people with disability from non-English speaking backgrounds, NESB, when attempting to access services. It is a maze, it is not easy to navigate, and if English is not their first language, you can imagine the frustration. We hear a lot of real experiences of people trying to make contact. Unfortunately, a lot of people after the first phone call If they do not get through, they give up. We identified a trend where the service users from NESB with disability tend to be in the high-end age group and they tend to be in crisis. 5.7. The provision of culturally appropriate services is examined in detail from section 5.119. 5.8. Ms. Elena Katrakis, Chief Executive Officer, Carers New South Wales, conveyed that carers complain that it is they who must meet the requirements of the service, and not the other way around. Carers who cannot fit around rigid program guidelines do not receive the services they need. 6.5.9. Mr. Colleen identified issues associated with people accessing multiple services, including inconsistency in administration, eligibility and funding. Often people with disability require multiple disability and/or community support services and programs to remain living at home in the community. The different government and non-government disability and/or community services and programs often have separate administration, eligibility, funding etc. that can have a negative impact on service users that require multiple services or programs and whereby the same services and programs are codependent where one cannot or will not be delivered without the other or there is a threat by one service provider to withdraw the service unless the other essential service is provided. For instance, New South Wales Home Care, ADHC, providing personal care support to a client and the client's condition. 3. Submission 42.8. Mr. Greg Killeen, P3. 4. Submission 42.8, P3. 5. Ms. Diana Kyan, Executive Director, Multicultural Disability Advocacy Association, Evidence. The 26th of August 2010, P44. 6. Submission 33, Ms. Elena Katrakis, Chief Executive Officer, Carers New South Wales, P5. 2. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Deteriorates and needs a lifting hoist and sling, but there is a waiting list for the client to be provided with the equipment by Enable New South Wales, New South Wales Health. 7.5.10. Mr. Colleen recommended that a whole-of-government approach is required to be implemented by the New South Wales Government, including developing a one-stop shop to minimise and simplify the administration and related operational cost of providing services and programs for people with disability. 8. Committee comment. 5.11. The committee recognises the barriers identified by inquiry participants regarding access to disability services, including financial assessment, eligibility, and administration. The committee notes that issues such as eligibility are examined in more detail from section 5.15, 5.12. The committee sympathises with the challenges faced by people who access multiple government-provided or funded services, which results from the separate application, eligibility and administration processes. The committee notes that some services are only able to be accessed when other essential services are provided, which are not within the control of the client. 5.13. The committee acknowledges that current means testing does not include assessment of the expenses incurred by people with disability who access multiple services, and agrees with Mr. Colleen that the inclusion of assessment of expenses in means tests would provide a more comprehensive picture of people with disabilities' financial position, and ensure that these people are not further disadvantaged by this process. The committee recommends that ADHC's means testing policy be reviewed for people with disability to include assessment of expenses. This will provide a more complete picture of their financial position. 5.14. The committee also notes the challenges that people with disability from NESB face in accessing services, and that access to services by people from NESB is examined in more detail later in this chapter. Recommendation 1. That the New South Wales Government review and amend means testing policy for people with disability attempting to access services to include assessment of expenses, so that people with disability are not disadvantaged through being required to provide an incomplete picture of their financial position. That the amended policy is communicated to ADHC staff, funded organisations and disability service users. 7. Submission 42.8, P3. 8. Submission 42.8, P3. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 3. Legislative Council - Recommendation 2. That the Minister for Disability Services introduce standardized income/means testing forms across all ADHC provided and funded programs, and ensures forms are available in multiple languages and formats. Intake and Assessment 5.15. Many inquiry participants identified barriers to accessing disability services resulting from the intake and assessment processes that take place before a service can be received. 9. Concern was expressed regarding a lack of information, unspecific intake rules, poor referral administration processes and inconsistent processes across regions. 5.16. Ms. Carol Berry, Executive Director of the New South Wales Council for Intellectual Disability, New South Wales CID, described that intake and assessment processes determine eligibility and the services required within the available budget prior to people with disability receiving services. An intake and assessment process, together with case management services, are used to determine the eligibility of individuals for specific formal services and to identify the appropriate mix of services required to meet the needs of a person with disability. These two mechanisms are also asked to balance the needs of people with disability within budgetary limitations. 10. 5.17. Ms. Berry also conveyed a key systemic complaint that is communicated by members of the New South Wales CID regarding intake and assessment processes, namely that they do not know the amount of funding that is available to them. A lack of a client-focused approach. For example, the current intake and assessment process does not allow for people with disability to know the funding level that is set aside for them individually, or to be communicated in a way that they can easily understand, such as service hours, where appropriate. Many clients of ADHC have reported that they find working with the department extremely frustrating. There appear to be some systemic issues within the organization that need to be addressed as a matter of urgency, particularly in regard to internal communication and communication with the client base. 11. 5.18. Ms. Jenny Barron from the Attendant Care Industry Association of New South Wales Incorporated identified that there is currently no consistent or integrated national approach or method of assessing the need for community-based care and support. 12. 5.19. Dr. Helen Somerville from the New South Wales ADID also expressed concern about intake processes for disability services, telling the committee that poorly communicated intake rules make it difficult for doctors, families, and service users to find out how to access services. 9. See for example, submissions 32, 39, 62, and 94. 10. Submission 39. Ms. Carol Berry, Executive Director, New South Wales Council for Intellectual Disability, P8. 11. Submission 39, P16. 12. Submission 46. Ms. Jenny Barron, Attendant Care Industry Association of New South Wales Incorporated, P4. 4. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. How can we advocate, compliment or complain when we do not even know what the rules are? We do not know what the intake rules are. We do not know how the decisions are made about getting a service. If we do not know what the rules are, there is no written information, and it appears to us that that is deliberate. And if we do not have information, how can a family or a person find out and ask questions? They do not even have a tracking system for when the referrals come in. 13. 5.20. Dr. Vivian Bale, also from the New South Wales ADID, believes that a big negative change to the intake process has been a move away from clinician-based intake. He stated that previously, extensive assessments were completed for service users which were used by ADHC to determine the level of need and services required. 14. 5.21. Dr. Bale outlined changes to the intake process that have resulted in delays for people accessing services. Delays have been caused by the requirement for a needs assessment to be completed before any service type can be accessed, in addition to when an assessment has been completed by another professional. Now every person, no matter what they want to access, whether it is case management, behavior management, respite, therapy services, all have to go through a needs assessment. We just feel it is a huge waste of resources. No matter what service is being requested by the parent, the carer or another professional with parents' permission, whether it is respite, behavior management, other accommodation issues, therapy services, all those things require, first of all, for a needs assessment to be done so that the intake a clerical person takes a call, you record the call in some way, we have problems even making sure that when a call has been made they actually match it up with a detailed 8-page report we sent for a multidisciplinary assessment. They then wait 3 months to have a needs assessment. For the needs assessment, someone goes out to the home, spends an hour in someone's living room, as parents tell us, and then they wait another 12 months before they get a service. This is for a 3-year-old who desperately needs a service. 15.5.22. The submission from the ADID recommended that an ADHD needs assessment should not be required when the referring agent such a diagnosis and assessment team has provided a comprehensive multidisciplinary assessment and report of both child and family's needs. 16. Referring to needs assessments as a waste of resources and time. Needs assessments are often reported by families as a waste of resources and of clinicians' time. They can add confusion at times as families assume that the needs they have reported will be acknowledged and met. Often, the needs assessment leads to a lengthy wait on a list, which renders the data collected out of date. Needs assessments should be briefer and completed upon initial intake or re-referral. 17.13. Dr. Helen Somerville, Association of Doctors in Developmental Disability, Evidence, the 27th of September 2010, p. 214. Dr. Vivian Bale, Association of Doctors in Developmental Disability, Evidence, the 27th of September 2010, p. 215. Dr. Bale, Evidence, the 27th of September 2010, p. 216. Submission 94, p. 1217. Answers to questions on notice taken during evidence, the 27th of September 2010, Association of Doctors and Developmental Disability, Question 1, p. 3. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 5. Legislative Council - 5.23. The committee invited Mr. Moore to respond to the issue of multiple needs assessments being required by ADHD. He advised that the assessment completed by ADHD relates much more about a person and their life, rather than health-related issues. The focus of what we are trying to do is on a person's whole of life, and getting them a good life. 18.5.24. Mrs. Joanne Hewitt, chairperson of the Futures Alliance, identified that barriers to the receipt of services can also result from the complexity associated with assessing the aging needs of a person with a lifelong disability. Mrs. Hewitt stated that his can act as a barrier to people with a disability being considered eligible to access an aging-specific service. 19.5.25. The ADID submission identified that intake processes vary across ADHD regions. For example, some regions are happy to email an intake form to the referring agent to complete. Other ADHD regions want to speak to the referring agent. 25.26. The ADID stated that the intake process is extraordinarily complex and often has to be done repeatedly for any one client, and the capacity of the intake system falls far short of meeting the needs of client families and referring professionals. Additional issues regarding the intake process identified by the ADID include: the current ADHD intake system disadvantages families from a called culturally and linguistically diverse background, delays in processing the referral by the allocation panel as they do not act on referral until the detailed report/scores are sent. There is excessive reassessment, time wasted, duplication, loss of information, lack of cooperative partnerships and confusion, which essentially results in the attrition of needy families. 21.5.27. Ms. Berry recommended that improvement of client intake, assessment and eligibility process be a priority in Phase 2 of Stronger Together. The department undertook some work to improve their client intake, assessment and eligibility processes, but as far as we are aware this work has stalled. If the department is genuinely committed to becoming a more client-focused body in the delivery of the second phase of Stronger Together, this must become a matter of priority. 22.5.28. Improved intake and assessment processes for specialized disability services are prioritized in the New South Wales Disability Services Sector Directions for Industry Development Report. Industry Development Report. The report describes features of a leading edge intake, assessment and referral process. Intake, assessment and referral processes that support access to the full range of informal and community supports may mainstream and specialist services are consistent. 18. Mr. Jim Moore, Chief Executive, Aging, Disability and Home Care, Evidence. The 27th of September 2010, p. 4.19. Submission 62, Mrs. Joanne Hewitt, Chairperson, Futures Alliance, pp. 4-5. 20. Submission 94, p. 12-21. Submission 94, p. 12-22. Submission 39, p. 8-6. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. With contemporary leading-edge practice in Australia and internationally, such approaches move away from program-driven service responses to a system based on assisting people with disability to obtain information about and access the range of supports that fit their needs and aspirations. This requires well-defined, clear entry points into the service system, consistent and streamlined intake and assessment processes which are person-centered, a service system which is easy to navigate, where people with disability and their families and carers are provided with clear information about community, mainstream and specialist service options, and nowhere to go to get support when needed. Clear referral pathways to both mainstream and specialist services, and an understanding of system capacity and a resource planning process linked to need. 23.5.29. The ADID recommended that a different intake model is required that does not discharge clients. Rather, clients can be reactivated. The intake model should reduce the current complexity and enable client families to remain with the same case manager where possible. 24.5.30. In answers to questions on notice, the ADID suggested two options to improve the provision of ADHD clinical services, including intake and assessment. Option 1 is a restructure of ADHD clinical services, and option 2 is the transfer of ADHD clinical services to New South Wales Health. 25.5.31. ADHC has committed to creating a consistent and streamlined intake and assessment process for accessing specialist disability services through the Industry Development Report, Actions 2G and 2H. 2G review the existing evidence base to examine different models of intake to both ADHC and NGO-provided services, as well as the intake processes of other agencies, such as health, aged care. For instance, the centralized intake and assessment model with either a single entry point or multiple entry points. 2H review current approaches to priority of access for specialist services and explore the potential for introducing a single set of priority of access criteria which are consistently applied. 26.5.32. Ms. Emily Kasker, State Policy Coordinator of National Disability Services New South Wales, also suggested features that an intake and eligibility processes should include. They are a single visible point of access. 23. New South Wales Disability Services Sector Directions for Industry Development Final Report, June 2010, pp. 21-22. 24. Submission 94, p. 12-25. Answers to questions on notice taken during evidence, the 27th of September 2010, Association of Doctors and Developmental Disability, Question 1, p. 3-26. New South Wales Disability Services Sector Directions for Industry Development Final Report, June 2010, p. 44. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 7. Legislative Council - a standard approach to entry screening regardless of disability. Immediate notification of eligibility and entitlement for ADHC-funded services. A reduction in the need for repetitive provision of information. Ease of transition to other departments for those who are not eligible for ADHC-funded or provided services and support. Fast, efficient referrals to providers, with all relevant information shared. Access based on the level of functional need in the context of a person's environment, regardless of disability type. Appropriate case management mechanisms and options for families that are long-term, consistent and well-resourced. 27.5.33. Ms. Kasker described the benefits that are resulting from a program that is trialing the use of a single entry point. A single entry point for home and community care, HACC, services is also currently being trialled in the Hunter region. This access point means that clients who need HACC services contact a single point, have their needs assessed, and be referred to one or a number of services. Clients are able to contact one place rather than potentially multiple service providers, and give their personal information once only, with information stored and transferred electronically. The single access point has enabled more consistent assessment of needs and eligibility, and aims to ensure that clients reach the services that are most appropriate for their needs. Wider rollout of the access point model is currently being examined. 28.5.34. The National Disability Agreement, NDA, described in Chapter 2, also addresses issues relating to assessment. The NDA commits states and territories to developing a nationally consistent assessment process by the end of 2011-29. As part of this assessment process, a single access point is recommended to enable more consistent assessment of needs and eligibility, and aims to ensure that clients reach the services that are most appropriate for their needs. 35.35. Mr. Martin Lavery, Chairman of the Board, Lorna Hodgkins and Sunshine Home, recommended that an advisory group is established for needs assessment, stating a needs assessment advisory group be established to be chaired by the ADHC Director General, and comprising equal numbers of ADHC staff, service provider representatives, and independent community members with terms of reference TOSIS on a rolling basis unmet need within every region at least once every 4 years. 27. Submission 32, Ms. Emily Kaska, State Policy Coordinator, National Disability Services, p. 34. 28. Submission 32, p. 25. 29. National Disability Agreement, Site Access 13 October 2010. www.cope.gov.au/intergov_agreement/federal_financial_relations/docs/igor_ffr_schedule_f_schedule_national_disability_agreement.pdf. 30. New South Wales Disability Services Sector Directions for Industry Development Final Report, June 2010, p. 25.8. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here, with the purpose of making recommendations on how current and future unmet need can best be addressed. 31. Committee comment 5.36. The committee acknowledges the issues identified by inquiry participants regarding ADHC's intake and assessment processes and the challenges these create in accessing disability services. The committee notes that ADHC complete duplicate needs assessments, there is a lack of consistency across and within regions, unclear intake rules, poor communication with service users and within ADHC, and there is no tracking system for referrals. 5.37. Inquiry participants made many suggestions for how to improve intake and assessment processes, and the committee urges the government to consider these. The committee agrees with the recommendation from National Disability Services and the New South Wales Disability Services Sector Directions for Industry Development Report that intake and assessment in the disability service system requires well-defined and clear entry points. 5.38. The committee notes that ADHC completes a needs assessment, even when a comprehensive one has been completed by a professional, and it accompanies the referral to ADHC. The committee acknowledges that ADHC may sometimes require an additional assessment. However, some flexibility is required within the system to prevent unnecessary duplication occurring, which results in lengthy delays and accessing services in a waste of scarce resources. 5.39. The committee further notes the poor communication that service users and referring professionals experience during intake and assessment processes. Poor internal communication within ADHC has also been observed by people using the intake and assessment system. 5.40. The committee believes that people with disability face many challenges, and that a well-functioning intake and assessment process is required to adequately support, rather than provide challenge, to the lives of these people. 5.41. The committee acknowledges that ADHC has committed to creating a consistent and streamlined intake and assessment process for accessing specialist disability services through the Industry Development Report, specifically committing to reviewing different intake models, the number of entry points, and developing a single set of priority of access criteria. The committee believes that this review could significantly improve the intake and assessment process and that it should be expedited. 5.42. The committee recommends that the review of the intake and assessment process for disability services is expedited to address entry to the system, prevent duplicate needs assessments being completed where possible, improve notification of eligibility and entitlements to services, improve consistency in intake and assessment processes, and improve navigation of the system. 31. Submission 61. Mr. Martin Laverty, Chairman of the Board, the Lorna Hodgkinson Sunshine Home, P3 Report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 9. Legislative Council - Recommendation 3. That the Minister for Disability Services expedite the review of the intake and assessment process for disability services to develop a single, well-defined and clear entry point into the service system. Prevent duplicate needs assessments being completed through not requiring ADHC to complete an assessment when one has been completed by the referring professional. Provide immediate notification of eligibility and entitlement for ADHC provided and funded services. Develop and implement a consistent intake and assessment policy across regions. Improve navigation of intake and assessment, including the provision of clear information about service options, eligibility, and support. Review the eligibility criteria for the attendant care program. That the outcomes of the review, recommendations, and ADHC's response to the recommendations are published on ADHC's website. Vacancy Management 5.43. Some inquiry participants identified issues regarding the use of ADHC's vacancy management system in accessing supported accommodation services, including that system is biased towards certain disability types, increases the difficulty in accessing accommodation, involves a complicated application process, can result in people being placed a long way from their families and communities, and limits service users' choice of where to live, who to live with, and who supports them. 32.5.44. Ms. Estelle Shields, a mother and carer, provided some background to ADHC's vacancy management system. 7 or 8 years ago, ADHC introduced its vacancy management system. Hailing it as transparent and equitable, ADHC was responding to the overwhelming demand for supported accommodation. Prior to this, when a vacancy occurred, NGOs had been able to select a client who was known to be compatible with existing clients from within the community of families known to it. ADHC's rationale was that since it was funding all the places, it should be able to select the most needy person in the state to fill the vacancy. 33.5.45. Mr. Maximum Bisotti, Chief Executive Officer of the Paraplegic and Quadriplegic Association of New South Wales, Paraquad, expressed concern about the bias of ADHC's supported accommodation policy towards people with intellectual disability. Mr. Bisotti stated that ADHC agrees that 32, see for example, submissions 15, 21, 23, 38, and 70. 33, submission 15, Ms. Estelle Shields, P4. 10. Report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. This bias takes place, but there remains a disconnect between client needs and the policy framework. 34.5.46. The submission from Paraquad provided an example of the difficulties encountered in using ADHC's supported accommodation vacancy management system for a service user aged in her 50s. There was a clear lack of understanding of the needs of our client group, or an understanding of the purpose of Ferguson Lodge, a residential centre. The social worker was advised to contact ACAT, Commonwealth Aged Care and Assessment Team, to find suitable residential placement despite the client being in her 50s. Advice was given that every client that applies through the program required an appointed case manager. Difficult to obtain case management when they have capacity to manage their own affairs and goals. The applicant found the process confusing as to complete the client profile and risk profile. The information requested is targeted at intellectual disability and not relevant for people with high-level physical disability and high-level cognitive functioning. This creates challenges in trying to complete the documentation as accurately as possible when questions are not relevant to their circumstances. The applicant was attempting to get immediate placement, not a placement in the future, so was told that I need to demonstrate that all other options, including ACAT, were exhausted before being accepted for immediate placement. Unable to understand, if there are no other clients awaiting placement at this facility, why the client has to wait to be placed. The only other option for this client now is to go to a nursing home at the age of 50. This seems incredulous. 35.5.47. Ms. Belinda Epstein-Frisch from Family Advocacy stated that the vacancy management process process used to manage supported accommodation limits people's choice to choose where the person lives, who the person lives with, or who supports them, and how. People are often housed far away from their family or community. Ms. Epstein Frisch explained how the system works. Supported accommodation provided by government and non-government providers is managed as one system through a vacancy management process. Vacancies in existing houses and services are offered to the person in most critical need that matches the vacancy. 36.5.48. Ms. Shields also stated that ADHC's vacancy system results in people being placed a long way from their original community when a crisis occurs, and immediate accommodation must be found. 37.34. Submission 21, Mr. Maximum Bisotti, Chief Executive Officer, Paraquad, Paraplegic and Quadriplegic Association of New South Wales, p. 8.35. Submission 21, pp. 8-9. 36. Submission 23, Ms. Belinda Epstein Frisch, Systemic Advocacy, Family Advocacy, p. 5.37. Submission 15, p. 5. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 11. Legislative Council 5.49. Ms. Jennifer Allo-Ohm, a mother and carer to her son, also believes that the supported accommodation vacancy management system results in people being places a long way from their family and community. She stated, "The person who does get that vacancy has been taken away from everything and everyone they know. People are shuttled around every morning and afternoon in taxis and vans to their workplaces or day programs, or perhaps worse, are so far away they are no longer able to access their programs and friends. We are made to accept these situations and to feel grateful for any accommodation crumbs that come our way. This policy makes it impossible to plan any future for our sons and daughters. It means that parents can no longer invest their time and efforts into a local service provider who should one day provide accommodation services for their own child." 38.5.50. An impact of the vacancy management system is a change in the way that communities support local accommodation providers, with local funded organizations no longer being able to choose who they accommodate. This was explained by Ms. Shields. "In the past years, I have witnessed a total breakdown of sense of community within families with a disabled member. These are the families who need each other so greatly. They, together with their friends and extended family, used to gather around a local provider, supporting it and raising funds, forming a close-knit community and hoping one day to receive a placement for their person within that circle. Their provider, in turn, came to know the families and the people with disability, often through all work, day, respite or recreational programs that it ran. It became familiar with circumstances of each family and the care needs and personality of their person. All this vanished with the vacancy management system. Overstressed families have little incentive to support an NGO who will not be able to accommodate their family member in the future. NGOs are forced to take people from far away whom they have never seen before, and who may or may not be compatible with existing clients." 39.5.51. The concern expressed by Ms. Shields was echoed by Ms. Rallo, that supported accommodation providers lose the support of local communities as a result of ADHC's vacancy management system. "ADHC's vacancy management policy has had a devastating effect on families. Service providers lose the support of their local community in fundraising and personal involvement when they are no longer seen as providing services to the children and adults of their neighbors and friends. PWD people with disability are no longer finding supported accommodation in their area, if at all, because the department deems someone from out of the area most needy at that time." 5.52. Ms. Judy Brossis, sister to a lady with Down syndrome, believes that ADHC's use of inappropriate vacancy management processes has contravened the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. ADHC has contravened the Human Rights Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities ratified by Australia in 2008 in Articles 4, 6, 10, 13, 16, and 19. ADHC acted in the most discriminatory way, sacrificing the safety and well-being of the 38. Submission 38, Ms. Jennifer Allo-Ohm, pp. 1-2. 39. Submission 15, P512 Report Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Original 3 residents for the convenience of housing 1. The money thrown into this situation is obscene, especially when you know so many are waiting for accommodation. The stress ADHC has imposed on the residents and staff of this group home is criminal, not only for the original 3 members, but for the autistic man as well. 45.53 The submission from Northcote Disability Services recommended the redevelopment of ADHC's vacancy management system, to ensure that accommodation vacancy management processes place decision-making power with people with a disability needing accommodation support, and their families and carers, any residents currently living in the proposed accommodation placement, and the services that support these people. 41. Committee Comment 5.54. The committee acknowledges there are significant issues with ADHC's vacancy management system and that it does not currently meet the needs of many service users. The committee sympathizes with the challenges experienced by many service users, carers and their families, and using ADHC's vacancy management system. 5.55 The committee notes with concern that the vacancy management system makes it difficult for service users to access supported accommodation, and is biased towards specific disabilities. It is also a concern that the vacancy management system can result in people being placed a long way from their family and community and limits people's choice of where to live, who to live with and who supports them. The committee believes the government should manage vacancies in a person-centered manner, in line with their commitment to deliver person-centered services. 5.56 The committee agrees with the recommendation from Northcote Disability Services that vacancy management processes should place decision-making power with the people who need the disability support, their families and carers, existing residents and the support services. 5.57 The committee is concerned that the current vacancy management system may not comply with the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, through reducing the choice of service users, and jeopardizing their safety through inappropriate placement matching. 5.58 The committee also questions whether ADHC's vacancy management policy is in line with many of the New South Wales Disability Service standards, and recommends that vacancy management policy is reviewed and amended to bring this important process in line with the New South Wales standards and person-centred policy, and to address the issues identified above. 5.59 Additional issues regarding supported accommodation are examined in Chapter 6 and Chapter 10. 40 Ms. Judy Brossis, Public Forum, the 30th of September 2010, p. 15-41. Submission 70, Northcote Disability Services, p. 11. Report Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 13. Legislative Council - Recommendation 4. That the Minister for Disability Services review and amend ADHC's vacancy management system for supported accommodation in consultation with stakeholders. That the review considers person-centered policy, access to supported accommodation, based on need, rather than disability type, complexity of the application process, the distance that service users are placed from their family and community, the compatibility of people placed together in supported accommodation, the level of choice that service users have regarding where they live, who they live with and who supports them, compliance with the New South Wales Disability Service Standards and the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, provision for information sharing and coordination of data exchange between ADHC and NGO service providers, that the outcomes of the review, recommendations, and actions are published on ADHC's website. Disability Service Information 5.60 This section examines issues regarding access to appropriate disability service information by service users, carers and their families. Some inquiry participants identified there are difficulties accessing information from and providing information to the disability service system. 42. Difficulties include the complexity of the system, language barriers and a lack of information about specific services. The stress resulting from having to repeat difficult information and experiences in order to access ADHC services was also conveyed to the committee. 5.61 Additional issues regarding disability service information are addressed in other chapters and sections, including access to culturally appropriate information from Section 5.120, access to information regarding the eligibility for disability services from Section 5.15, access to information to enable planning for disability services in Chapter 4, and access to disability services statistical information is provided in Chapter 3 and Chapter 9, 5.62. The Industry Development Report identifies the importance of providing information in the disability service system. Across Australia, the provision of information is a pivotal part of an effective disability service system. It supports and empowers people with disability. There, 42, see for example, submissions 33, 39, and 60. 14. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Families and carers to make choices about their supports and to live as independently as possible. It is also an important mechanism for raising awareness and influencing attitudes and behaviors within the broader community in order to increase the social and economic inclusion of people with disability in society. 43. 5.63. Ms. Kasker also told the committee that appropriate information provision and support for navigation of the system is critical to empowering and strengthening families. 44. Ms. Elena Katrakis, Chief Executive Officer of Carers New South Wales, identified that carers face barriers to accessing information through an overly complex and fragmented service system, limited time of carers, language, and unawareness of rights to services and the lack of availability of information in specific service setting. 45. 5.64. Barriers to accessing information for people living with a print disability were also identified by Ms. Sue Crane, Advocacy and Research Officer from Vision Australia, who stated that less than 5% of the information available to sighted people can be accessed by these people. Ms. Crane continued, for this group, lack of access to information is the single biggest barrier to employment and effective participation in the community. 46. 5.65. Ms. Berry conveyed that her organisation receives complaints about the quality of information that is provided by ADHC. New South Wales CID regularly receives complaints about the fact that information coming out of the department about services that are available is quite unclear, and that accessing services or funding that is available can be a complex and onerous process. For example, at present, many people complain that there is a lack of information regarding eligibility for services and service capacity in different areas. This lack of clarity in regard to clients accessing ADHC services is a major problem and a great source of frustration for clients. 47. 5.66. A key focus area of the industry development report is that people with disability have access to the information and range of supports they need to live the lives they choose. 48. ADHC has committed to improving navigation of the service system for people with disability and their families and carers, particularly at key transition points. Through the industry development report, including Action 2E, which states, improving access to information through exploring the potential for online information dash hub or hubs or portal or portals to provide information for people with disability. Disability services, mainstream services, families, and community members. Information should emphasize life choices and may include links to information about resources, supports, and services. Positive stories about the experiences of people with disability and families. 43. New South Wales Disability Services Sector Directions for Industry Development Final Report, June 2010, p. 23. 44. Submission 32, p. 34. 45. Submission 33, p. 8. 46. Submission 60, Ms. Sue Crane, Advocacy and Research Officer, Vision Australia, p. 3. 47. Submission 39, p. 8. 48. New South Wales Disability Services Sector Directions for Industry Development Final Report, June 2010, p. 14. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 15. Legislative Council dash potential pathways across all life stages highlighting supports available. Links to local community information, geographical, cultural, etc., services and capacity, referral, assessment, and intake processes. 49.5.67. Ms. Debbie Robertson is the mother and carer of Brett, who has fragile legs and a severe intellectual disability. Ms. Robertson described another issue concerning disability services information regarding the frustration and sometimes trauma experienced by carers that are required to constantly repeat information and relive difficult experiences in order to access ADHD services. She stated, in relation to paperwork and constant repetitive questions that need to be answered in order to access ADHD services, that has caused us, and, I am sure, many others, great frustration and stress. I spoke to another mother recently who said that she felt traumatized by having to relive difficult experiences over and over again. There absolutely needs to be an acknowledgement of how much burden is placed onto already exhausted carers by asking them to repeat the same processes over and over. 50. Committee comment. 5.68. The committee acknowledges the importance of ensuring appropriate access to information for service users, carers and their families in the disability service system. The committee agrees that good access to information empowers service users to make appropriate decisions and is vital for people to live as independently as possible. 5.69. The committee understands that people with disability depend on quality information to be able to make informed decisions about the services they receive and the way they live their lives. Barriers to accessing information include the complexity and fragmentation of the service system, limited resources of carers, information that is not provided in appropriate languages, and a lack of available information for eligibility into specific services. 5.70. The significant impact that poor access to information has on people with print disability was highlighted to the committee. The committee believes that all people with disability should have access to information that enables them to be able to choose to access employment and participate effectively in the community. 5.71. The committee acknowledges that information about services available from ADHD is sometimes unclear, which can increase difficulties accessing these services. The committee believes that improved clarity is required so that people who require services from ADHD or funded organizations are aware of the eligibility requirements, location, and availability of services. 5.72. The committee strongly supports the key focus area in the industry development report that relates to people with disability being able to access the information and range of supports they require. 49. New South Wales Disability Services Sector Directions for Industry Development Final Report, June 2010, p. 44.50. Ms. Debbie Robertson, Public Forum, the 30th of September 2010, p. 23.16. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 5.73. The committee sympathizes with the carers who are required to repeat traumatic information many times in order to receive ADHD services. The committee believes that Recommendation 18 will improve ADHD intake and assessment processes for carers through reducing duplicate collection of information. 5.74. The committee recommends that access to disability service information is improved for all service types, programs, and supports that are available to service users, carers and their families, including for people with print disability. Recommendation 5. That the Minister for Disability Services improve access to disability service information for all service types, programs and supports. That this is achieved through ensuring information is available and easily accessible on all ADHD provided and funded services, including locations where the services are provided, eligibility criteria and how to access the service, providing information in a variety of formats, including easy access, non-English languages, electronically and in hard copy, providing references to other reputable sources of information, such as websites and organizations that can provide support and general information to service users, carers and their families. Recommendation 6. That the Minister for Disability Services improve the availability of information to people who are deaf or those with vision disability through making available disability service information in relevant formats. Service eligibility. 5.75. Many inquiry participants stated that they experienced confusion when attempting to understand whether they were eligible to receive disability services. services. 51. Issues regarding eligibility of disability services were identified as resulting from inconsistent information, separate and sometimes inconsistent program guidelines, varying administration processes, eligibility requirements that change frequently, and narrow eligibility criteria that results in some disabilities not receiving services. 5.76. The National Council of Social Services, New South Wales, NCOS, submission identified that services provided by ADHC generally have differing eligibility criteria, HISA largely provided in silos, with separate and sometimes conflicting program guidelines, differing eligibility criteria, varying service mechanisms, and differing uncoordinated fee structures. 52, 51, see for example, submissions 30, 90, 93, 94, and 107. 52, submission 30, Ms. Christine Regan, Senior Policy Officer, Council of Social Service of New South Wales, P12, report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 17. Legislative Council -5.77. Confusion about eligibility criteria extends to both clinicians and ADHC staff, according to Dr. Robert Leitner, chairperson of ADID. Applied Behavioural Intervention, ABI, is a quality autism therapy, with only limited places. There is confusion with clinicians and ADHC themselves about availability, eligibility, priorities. Same regions were not aware that children only needed an autism diagnosis for referral in spite of the referral needing to go through ADHC intake. 53.5.78. The Disability Trust submission identified that it is hard to stay up to date with the various eligibility requirements in terms of geography, service type and levels of care available from each provider. 54.5.79. Service users who require more than one type of service face additional complications. According to NCOS, who told the committee that service users requiring more than one type of support must demonstrate eligibility for each separate program, and then learn the requirements, obligations, and expectations of each provider before receiving services and providing consents along the way. 55.5.80. Mr. Stephen Nicholson, Manager, Consumer and Community Services, Deaf Society of New South Wales, and Ms. Jan Bedenko identified that current eligibility arrangements make it difficult for people who are deaf and blind to access services. 56. Ms. Bedenko stated W. Hill, working in the intellectual disability field, I realized that deafblind people did not get any funding unless deemed intellectually disabled. 57.5.81. Mr. Nicholson stated that people who are deaf and blind have applied for services through the attendant care and home care program in the past, however, have been unsuccessful because they do not meet the specific eligibility criteria for one or the other. 58. In absence of a funded service being available, the Deaf Society has assisted people who are deaf and blind without receiving funding from ADHC. They have ended up becoming reliant on our organization again. That is an unfunded service, but we need to provide that quality of service. If that is not there, there is nothing. I have raised the issue of people who have not met the criteria. The response has been that I should get in touch with home and community care. When we have done that, home and community care has said they do not meet its criteria, and that we should go back to the other service. There is a catch. 22. 53. Submission 94, P11. 54. Submission 107, Ms. Margaret Bowen, Chief Executive Officer, The Disability Trust, P13. 55. Submission 30, P12. 56. Mr. Stephen Nicholson, Manager, Consumer and Community Services, Deaf Society of New South Wales, evidence, the 27th of September 2010, P58 and Submission 93, Ms. Jan Bedenko, P1, 57, Submission 93, P1, 58, Mr. Nicholson, evidence, the 27th of September 2010, P58, 18, report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 5.82. Eligibility barriers for deaf and blind people were also discussed by Mr. Colin Allen, the director of the Deaf Society, who recommended that the attendant care program criteria need to incorporate people who are deaf and blind as eligible to receive that service. 59.5.83. Vision Australia also identified the lack of services and funding available for people who are deaf and blind. The key issue for Vision Australia is that, predominantly due to lack of funding, we are not able to provide services to the number of people in New South Wales who are blind, have low vision or are deafblind. 65.84. Ms. Badenko identified that other countries fund and train interpreters and guides for people who are deaf and blind, and that this service is urgently needed in Australia and must be part of any new national disability and support scheme. 61.5.85. Ms. Sandra Witherley from the Association for Blind Citizens of New South Wales Incorporated also identified that there is unmet need in the provision of services to people who are blind. She stated that a lack of funding to her organisation impacts on the quality, effectiveness, and delivery of services to people who are blind or vision impaired. 62.5.86. Case Study X provides an example of restrictive eligibility criteria that have wrongly deemed a service user as independent and not eligible for ADHD support. The impact of this on the service user's elderly parents is also described. Case Study X, name suppressed. 63. Our daughter lived with us in a retirement village unit until September 2009. She then moved into a self-care unit of her own in a similar retirement village. At this point, was deemed to be independent and, as such, no longer eligible for any ADHD services. At present, she needs daily assistance with the many aspects of living independently. We, her aged parents, aged 77 and 79, have to help her with shopping, medical, dental and money matters. She purchases some of the other necessary services at rates of $27 per hour weekdays, and up to $53.60 per hour at weekends. Such a situation is plainly not sustainable. To date, our plans for our daughter's independent future have been blocked due to our inability to obtain an appropriate care package for. We therefore request that the eligibility guidelines for such care packages be reviewed along with funding availability for the older disabled. 59. Mr. Colin Allen, Director of Services, Deaf Society of New South Wales, evidence, the 27th of September 2010, p. 58, 60, submission 60, p. 6, 61, submission 93, p. 1, 62, submission 45, Ms. Sandra Witherley, p. 3, 63, submission 7, name suppressed, p. 1, report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 19. Legislative Council, dash, 5.87. An impact of current eligibility criteria as identified by Ms. Berry is that some people who could substantially benefit from government support not being eligible for ADHD assistance. 64. Ms. Berry noted that his is a substantial area of unmet need which is extremely difficult to quantify. Many families who, from the outset, would seemingly definitely qualify for some form of government assistance, simply do not. 5.88. The submission from NDS also provided a recommendation to improve disability services eligibility policy, suggesting that people are screened for eligibility only once using a common screening tool, though their needs are reassessed at key life stages, or as their needs change. NDS also recommended that people are immediately notified of eligibility and entitlement for ADHD-funded services. 65.5.89. The New South Wales Ombudsman conveyed that people need access to comprehensive and timely information about existing services for children with disabilities and their families. This includes information about what types of services and supports are available, the eligibility criteria, and how to access services. 66.5.90. A recommendation to improve eligibility policy was put to the committee by Ms. Des Sands, Executive Director, People with Disability, ADHD Review Eligibility and Assessment for Services, so that procedures are based on a robust, internationally valid framework, such as the World Health Organization's WHO International Classification of Disability Functioning and Health, ICF, which determines eligibility and assesses need according to a sophisticated classification that takes account of the functional limitations of a person and their level of disadvantage. relative to the social, economic, and environmental context in which they live. 67.5.91 Ms. Kasker believes that a particular focus should be improving current approaches to establishing eligibility, and consideration should be given to agreeing its purpose and when it occurs so as to reduce the need for re-establishing eligibility at multiple points in a person's life or when accessing more than one service. 68. Ms. Kasker also recommended that access to services is based on a person's need rather than disability type. 69.5.92 Ms. Louise Bannerman, Disability Development Officer, Warringah Council, stated that people who don't quite fall into a specific diagnosis, for example someone that has a rare genetic disorder which causes a disability, struggle within the inflexibility of eligibility criteria for services. 70. Ms. Bannerman recommended that greater flexibility is required in eligibility requirements to ensure easier process for the carer and to prevent people in need of falling between the gaps. 64. Submission 39, pp 9-10, 65. Submission 32, p 23, 66. Submission 100, Mr. Bruce Barber, New South Wales Ombudsman, p 3, 67. Submission 91, Ms. Thess Sands, Executive Director, People with Disability, p 10, 68. Submission 32, p 27, 69. Submission 32, p 34. 70. Submission 108, Miss Louise Bannerman, Disability Development Officer, p. 320. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 5.93. The committee was told that people who don't fall within a clear category of disability may be disadvantaged by current eligibility criteria. Mr. Noel Bohm, Director, Local Government and Shires Association of New South Wales, provided the example of people who may have a rare genetic illness. Eligibility requirements currently appear to negatively impact people with a disability who are not able to be categorized with a specific disability, such as those who have a rare genetic illness. They often struggle to gain eligibility for much-needed services and funding. The associations suggest that a classification system that is based on impacts on health and lifestyle as opposed to the type of disability may ensure fairer support for all people with a disability and better funding to the sector. This would also ensure that people with a mental health issue and those that do not easily fit into a diagnosis are not marginalized. 71.5.94 Consistent with Mr. Bohm's concerns, Northcote Disability Services recommended that the eligibility for ADHC services should be expanded to people with any disability, as defined under the Disability Services Act. 72. Committee comment 5.95. The committee sympathizes with the concern expressed by inquiry participants regarding ADHC eligibility policy and the impact this has on people attempting to access services, and notes the confusion experienced by service users and clinicians when attempting to determine eligibility for different programs. 5.96. The committee acknowledges how difficult it is for service users to navigate the eligibility policy of disability services to try and ascertain whether they qualify for services, when both clinicians and ADHC also find some policy confusing. Current eligibility criteria varies between geographical location, service type, levels of care and service provider. The committee believes that development and consistent implementation of revised eligibility policy would improve the provision of disability services. 5.97. The committee agrees with Ms. Sands that review of eligibility criteria for services should be based on a robust, internationally valid framework, such as the WHO's International Classification of Disability Functioning and Health, and that greater flexibility is required in eligibility requirements, including a revision of eligibility criteria to determine eligibility based on need rather than disability. 5.98. The committee also agrees with Ms. Kasker that service users' experience in accessing disability services would be significantly improved through the use of a common eligibility screening tool. The committee also agrees that service users should be immediately notified of their eligibility and entitlement to ADHC-funded and provided services. 5.99. The committee notes with concern the challenges faced by people who are deaf and blind in accessing support and services, due to limited and inadequate eligibility criteria. Trained interpreters and guides should be available for people who are deaf and blind. The committee. 71. Submission 72. Mr. Noel Boehm, Director, Local Government and Shires Association of New South Wales, p. 572. Submission 70, p. 6. Report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 21. Legislative Council - recommends that eligibility criteria in the attendant care program are amended as a matter of urgency to include people who are deaf and blind. 5.100. The committee also recommends eligibility policy is developed and consistently implemented for all funded and provided service, including the development of a common eligibility screening tool. This includes a review of eligibility criteria for all disability services. 5.101. Implementation of Recommendation 18 could address many of the issues identified in this section. Recommendation 7. That the Minister for Disability Services convene a working group made up of government departments, NGO service providers, representatives from the Disability Council of New South Wales and other stakeholders to complete a review of eligibility criteria for all services based on an internationally valid framework such as the WHO's International Classification of Disability, Functioning and Health. That revised eligibility criteria determine service eligibility based on need rather than disability. That the working group undertakes consultation with a range of ADHD service users and ensure eligibility criteria is consistent with the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. That the outcomes of the review, recommendations, and actions are published on ADHC's website. Recommendation 8. That the Minister for Disability Services develop or revise as appropriate and consistently implement eligibility policy for all funded and provided service, including the development and implementation of a common eligibility screening tool, and that the policy ensures that service users are immediately notified of their eligibility and entitlement to ADHC funded and provided services. Recommendation 9. That the Minister for Disability Services amend the eligibility criteria of the attendant care program as a matter of urgency to include people who are deaf and blind. Recommendation 10. That the Minister for Disability Services ensure that appropriate services are available for people who are deaf blind through funding and training interpreters and guides for deaf and blind service users. 22. Report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Waiting lists. 5.102. The lack of waiting lists used by ADHC was identified as a concern by many inquiry participants. 73. Inquiry participants told the committee that waiting lists are not used consistently across service types or programs. There is confusion about what they are and whether they should be used in all programs. 5.103. Issues regarding the use of waiting lists to manage access to supported accommodation services are examined in Chapter 6. 5.104. Mr. Moore told the committee that an assessment is always completed when a service is requested and the wait that follows to access services depends on the level of need. When children or people with a disability and their families make a request for services, there is always an assessment of the requirement for immediate response or not. It is quite likely that the people who are waiting longest have other services or their need is considered not as high as other people's. There is a definite assessment to determine how quickly people should respond and be given priority. 74. 5.105. The author of Submission 1 explained that there are many issues with waiting lists for disability services, including their length, transparency of the process and repetition of paperwork. Waiting lists are long, priorities are not transparent, paperwork is intrusive and repetitive. Currently we have been on the waiting list for over 2 years for occupational therapy, and recently my son finally got back on the caseload for speech therapy after 2 years on the waiting list. I have chosen to seek therapy through our Royal Far West Children's Health, RFW, because I cannot trust ADHC to provide service. I travel to Sydney to access RFW every 6 months to be annually. It provides a one-stop shop that ADHC does not. 75. 5.106. Ms. Janice Marshall, mother and carer, stated that ADHC has kept no waiting list to gauge unmet need, although a register of future need has recently been introduced after marketing. This is, however, not well publicized, hence the data is probably not very useful. 76.5.107. Then cost submission explained that there are no waiting lists used by the ADHD home care service. Instead, if the service is full, people may be asked to call back at another time, which may reduce access to this service. The Home Care Service of New South Wales maintains no waiting lists, despite the recommendation of the 2005-06 New South Wales Public Accounts Committee inquiry into home and community care program and services. While talking to the regions, McCoss hears constant frustrations from people and providers who try to access support services from Home Care Service. If capacity is full on the day, the caller is asked to call another time and/or give another phone numbers. Ordinary people may interpret 73. See, for example, submissions 1, 30, 66, and 73. 74. Mr. Moore, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 15. 75. Submission 1, Mrs. Vicky Happ, pp. 1-2. 76. Ms. Janice Marshall, public forum, the 30th of September 2010, p. 21. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 23. Legislative Council - this is being rejected by the entire HACC system, and may not call again. There has been some improvement in recent times, but regional variations still occur, despite the centralized system. 77.5.108. The committee heard from Mr. Sean Lomas, Policy and Advocacy Manager, Spinal Cord Injuries Australia, that ADHD waiting lists are the source of jokes in the disability services sector. He stated, "Jokingly, we have heard it is bandied around in quite wide circles that ADHD just do not want to keep waiting lists. It is not necessary for them to keep them. It kind of clogs the issue and clouds everything up. So, hey, some people out there need some support. That is how everyone jokes about it." 78.5.109. Ms. Katra Kiss described issues regarding poor communication and unrealistic expectations that result from the use of waiting lists. She stated that if families think that they have got their names on a waiting list, and then find out years down the track that it does not exist, or something that may have existed 5 or 10 years ago no longer exists today. Ms. Katrakis also stated that families put their name on that list thinking that their problems will be solved down the track and that that will address their concerns. Whether the list exists is always a matter for debate, but it is about expectation about communication. 79.5.110. It appears that there is no agreement across service providers about what a waiting list is. 80. The committee was advised by Ms. Sharon Llewellyn, Regional Manager, the Benevolent Society, that this lack of agreement results in some service providers keeping comprehensive waiting lists and others keeping no record. 5.111. Ms. Llewellyn explained why there may be inconsistent use of waiting lists. She stated that there can be a culture in some providers around unmet need, or waiting lists being seen to be a negative about their program, so they want to be seen to be full because their output funded is based on being full, and providing that number of hours continuously. 81.5.112. The committee understands the use of waiting lists by ADHD and funded organizations is required to improve, so that there is a common understanding of when and how they are used. Ms. Llewellyn observed that we do not have a level of sophistication in the system around what to do with waiting lists or the data that we collect, because we cannot agree on whether to collect it, and then when we do, how to leverage that, or use that to better service the clients. 82.77. Submission 30, p. 8.78. Mr. Sean Lomas, Policy and Advocacy Manager, Spinal Cord Injuries Australia, evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 42.79. Ms. Elena Katrakis, Chief Executive Officer, Carers New South Wales, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 47.80. Ms. Sharon Llewellyn, Regional Manager, the Benevolent Society, evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 24.81. Ms. Llewellyn, evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 24.82. Ms. Llewellyn, evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 24.24. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 5.113. Mr. Peter Kell, Chief Executive Officer of Anglica, Archdiocese of Sydney, explained that long waiting lists for services can result in people remaining in services that are no longer needed, for fear of not being able to access the services later if required. HACC-funded services focus on providing person-centered care. However, clients can be afraid to temporarily leave a service, because it places them at risk of having to wait until another vacancy becomes available. Some HACC services have long waiting lists. Therefore, it is an incentive for the client to stay on regardless of whether they need help with the activities of daily living. 83. Committee comment. 5.114. The committee believes the variety of issues identified by inquiry participants suggests that waiting lists are a very complex issue. For example, the committee notes that waiting lists can be useful in gauging demand for a service and letting service users know how long a wait for a service may be. However, long waiting lists can also compel people to remain in services that may not be appropriate for fear of not receiving any other service. The many resulting issues faced by service users, carers and their families regarding disability service waiting lists include confusion about what they are, whether they should be used in all programs and a lack of use in some programs. 5.115. The views expressed regarding a lack of transparency and repetitive paperwork involved in the use of ADHC waiting lists are of concern to the committee, as it may reduce people's trust in the disability service system and influence the number of people who attempt to access services. 5.116. It is also of great concern to the committee that some people have placed their name on a waiting list, trusted that they would one day receive a service, then found out many years later that the waiting list no longer exists. The committee strongly believes that service users who are placed on a waiting list by ADHC or a funded organization deserve good communication so that they are aware of how long they may have to wait for a service, and can then choose whether to wait or explore other options. 5.117. The committee sympathizes with service users who attempt to access ADHC's home care services who, instead of being provided with a service, or being put on a waiting list, are told to call back another day. The committee believes that this response is unacceptable and may leave people without essential services, as many people do not have any option other than to use this service. 5.118. The confusion within the disability service sector regarding the use of waiting lists indicates to the committee that services are not provided in a planned manner, which was also identified by inquiry participants in Chapter 4. The committee believes that a policy needs to be developed that provides for the consistent understanding and use of waiting lists by ADHC and funded organizations. The committee believes that it is important for service users to be aware if and when they may be able to access services. 83. Submission 66. Mr. Peter Kell, Chief Executive Officer, Anglica, Archdiocese of Sydney, P8. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 25. Legislative Council - 5.119. The committee notes the belief held by some service providers that waiting lists may be perceived as a negative about their program, and that this perception influences where the waiting lists are kept. 5.120. The committee recommends that ADHC addresses this perception with funded organizations so that there is a clear and consistent understanding across the sector about the use of waiting lists. Clarity will also ensure that service users are not adversely affected as a result of service providers misunderstanding the impact of waiting lists on their relationship with their funder. 5.121. The committee also recommends that ADHC develop policy regarding the use of waiting lists in ADHC provided and funded disability services to improve transparency and understanding of waiting lists in the sector. 5.122. The committee notes that waiting lists and registers of service requests are an important mechanism to track and measure unmet and undermet need. Waiting lists or registers of service requests may also be used to log communication history with ADHC service users. Recommendation 11. That the Minister for Disability Services develop a policy regarding the use of waiting lists in ADHC provided and funded services to improve transparency and understanding of waiting lists through providing clear direction on when waiting lists will be kept by ADHC and funded organizations, providing direction on how waiting lists will be maintained, identifying when, how and the frequency that service users will be communicated with regarding their position on the waiting list, reducing the amount of red tape in accessing waiting lists, communicating that waiting lists will not negatively impact funded organizations, relationship with ADHC being circulated to service providers, ADHC staff and peak organizations so there is a common understanding across the sector, culturally appropriate services. 5.123. Many inquiry participants identified issues regarding the provision of culturally appropriate services to people from non-English speaking backgrounds, NESB. Issues include the under-representation of people with disability from NESB in accessing services, cultural differences, and the use of the word disability, lack of culturally appropriate information and trained staff, policy gaps and a narrowly focused service provision. 5.124. Mr. Damien Griffiths, Executive Officer of the Aboriginal Disability Network, identified that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people with disability are some of the most disadvantaged Australians. 26. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. They often face multiple barriers to their meaningful participation within their own communities and the wider community. The vast majority of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people with disabilities are at the periphery of all aspects of the disability services sector, and accessing individual advocacy services, this is particularly acute, despite the fact that in many ways Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people with disabilities are the group within the Australian community who are most in need of individual advocacy support. 84. 5.125. Ms. Diana Kyan is the Executive Director of the Multicultural Disability Advocacy Association, MDAA, which is the only systemic advocacy organization in the state that focuses on issues for people from the NESB with a disability. 85. 5.126. Ms. Kyan told the committee that awareness of the need to include people from the NESB with a disability in service delivery is increasing, but very little has been translated into real action, and therefore a very limited outcome has been achieved. 86. She stated, "The experience of MDAA in working with ADHC, we have found that individual staff from ADHC are quite responsive, and there seems to be a commitment from ADHC to improve service access for people from NESB, but that commitment has not been translated into broad systemic action." 87. 5.127. Mr. Dougie Hurd, Executive Officer of the Disability Council of New South Wales, identified that ADHC has a cultural competency strategy that it is attempting to put into practice. He also stated, "I believe it has been more successful now than it used to be in the past, but the numbers are pretty clear. 25% of the population of people with a disability come from a non-English speaking background. Fewer than 10% of clients come from a non-English speaking background." 88. 5.128. Ms. Kyan agrees that there is a disproportionate number of people with disability from NESB accessing ADHC services, about 5%, when compared to the number of people from these communities that have disability, about 36%. People from NESB make up about 36% of the state's population, so we are demographically in New South Wales increasingly diverse. That proportion would be equivalent in the disability community, so more than a quarter of the disability population are either born in a non-English speaking country, or a second generation NESB. We do not see that proportion in the people who access disability services. We see about 5% of ADHC service users from NESB, that is according to our estimate. 89. 84. Submission 97. Mr. Damien Griffiths, Aboriginal Disability Network, P1. 85. Ms. Kyan, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, P42. 86. Ms. Kyan, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, P42. 87. Ms. Kyan, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, P44. 88. Mr. Dougie Hurd, Executive Officer, Disability Council of New South Wales, Evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 35. 89. Ms. Kyan, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 42. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 27. Legislative Council - 5.129. Many inquiry participants identified some of the barriers that prevent people from NESB with disability from accessing disability services. 90. Mr. Hurd explained that there is a lack of access to information for these people. He also stated, language differences are important. A number of people tell us it is true also in the Aboriginal communities that in some communities, some languages, there is no word for disability. So if you organise a disability services system, you may not even know that there are support systems around for you to get access to. There may be cultural values and accessing the kinds of services that we organize, but the responsibility is on the system to develop cultural competency, to develop culturally appropriate services. 91. 5.130. The Early Childhood Intervention Australia submission identified that there is an underrepresentation of families from culturally and linguistically diverse, called communities and Aboriginal backgrounds in most services. 92. 5.131. Ms. Kyan stated that disability services are underutilized due to a lack of access to culturally appropriate information. She continued, if you do not know the services there, then you would not be able to inquire about it. You would not be able to get yourself onto a waiting list, and you would not be able to get access to it. So the vast majority of people from NESB with a disability cope with their needs within the family context, and they are very isolated. 93. 5.132. Ms. Elena Katrakis, Chief Executive Officer of Carers New South Wales, stated that having relevant information available in different languages is only part of the answer to improving the cultural appropriateness of disability services. It is about getting into the communities and really working with those communities. A lot of culturally and linguistically diverse communities do not even have a word for carer. It is a different concept. It is about looking at what that service mix might be. Sometimes a brochure or an Aboriginal-looking brochure about how to get services is not enough. It needs to be more at the coalface and to have appropriately trained and responsive services on the ground. 94. 5.133. Mr. Griffiths also stated that brochures with Aboriginal designs on them are not enough to meet outcomes for Aboriginal people with disability. I see a lot of great brochures that have nice Aboriginal motifs on them are sitting in the waiting rooms of health services or whatever, and that has been a bit of a trend in some ways. But it requires sitting down and having a yarn with people, organizations. Go out and have a conversation with people. It is just whether they go back and whether they are prepared to hear that they will cop it a little bit and have to swallow their pride. Something we do a lot of is partner with existing disability rights. 90. See, for example, submission 33, 84, and 97. 91. Mr. Hurd, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 34. 92. Submission 84, Early Childhood Intervention Australia, New South Wales Chapter, Incorporated, p. 3. 93. Ms. Kyan, evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 43. 94. Ms. Katrakis, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, pp 52-53. 28. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Organizations and go out into the community and introduce them to communities. So the planning side of stuff needs to involve outreach basically. 95. 5.134. During debate in Parliament, the Honourable Peter Primrose, Minister for Disability Services, noted that the government faced a number of obstacles when delivering services to Aboriginal communities. The Department of Ageing, Disability and Home Care recognises the challenges of ensuring older Aboriginal people are supported to live independently in their own homes and be connected with their communities. The Department of Ageing, Disability and Home Care also recognises the challenges of ensuring that Aboriginal people with a disability have every opportunity to reach their potential, and at the same time supporting and sustaining the unique community responses that are an integral part of Aboriginal culture. The agency acknowledges that true engagement with Aboriginal families and communities in service planning and development is essential to encourage access to services and to foster skills and independence, so that health and well-being of Aboriginal families and communities are maximised. 96. 5.135. Ms. Ethel McAlpine, Deputy Director General, Ageing, Disability and Home Care acknowledge the frustration that people living in Aboriginal communities may feel towards governments regarding the lack of flexibility provided to meet their needs. I think if you were living in an Aboriginal community, you would have a fair degree of frustration with all governments, in that you have articulated your needs a number of times and things have not happened to increase flexibility. I would hope that we are starting to see the change in that. 97.5.136. Ms. Kyan believes that there are issues regarding the responsiveness of disability services meeting the needs of individual people, including their linguistic needs, their religious needs, or it could be their cultural needs. 98. Ms. Kyan stated that the disability service sector still very much focus on managing disability and not supporting people who happen to have disability. She believes this is very single dimensional, very narrow. 5.137. Ms. Kyan told the committee that ADHC does not have a broader policy framework that addresses the needs of disadvantaged groups. 99. This includes gaps regarding the way that contracts and funded services are managed and the use of data about Indigenous access and NESB access. We do not know what ADHC does with the data. We do not know whether the organization is being held accountable if they really have no clients in their service that are actually from those backgrounds. 195. Mr. Damien Griffiths, Executive Officer, Aboriginal Disability Network. Evidence, the 27th of September 2010, p. 39, 96, NSWPD, Legislative Council, the 20th of October 2010, p. 17, 97. Ms. Ethel McAlpine, Deputy Director General, Aging, Disability and Home Care. Evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 25, 98. Ms. Kyan, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 44, 99. Ms. Kyan, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 44, 100. Ms. Kyan, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 44. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 29. Legislative Council - 5.138. Mr. Hurd gave an example of cultural barriers that are faced by some people when accessing community transport. He told the committee that the rules of some community transport organizations prevent people with disability from traveling with their family, which restricts some people from being able to carry out their family role. If you happen to be a client with a disability, a grandmother, who is also part of an extended family, either because you come from India or from Coffs Harbour, if part of your extended family role is to look after your daughter's 4-year-old kid, but the community transport organization will not allow you as the client to take the 4-year-old kid with you, you need to rethink how you organize community transport. 101.5.139/ Professor Eileen Balmady, School of Social Sciences and International Studies, University of New South Wales, explained the importance of enabling Indigenous workers to work in a culturally competent way rather than trying to enforce them into working in a pattern which works for middle-class Sydney. 102. Supporting and training Indigenous workers would go a huge way. That is not a huge amount of more money. It means, and what we are saying, we need to focus on ensuring that we support more Indigenous workers. Equally importantly, training non-Indigenous workers who work with Indigenous people, because Indigenous people want everybody to be able to work with them. 103. 5.140. Ms. Kyan told the committee that she phoned a number of ADHC intake phone lines and spoke in Chinese to see how responsive the system might be. 104. Unfortunately, the staff responded by speaking louder and louder. How can disability services better meet the needs of people from NESB with disability? 5.141. Minister Primrose told Parliament that ADHC is attempting to increase the number of Aboriginal staff members as a means to provide more culturally appropriate services. Minister Primrose explained the initiatives. Tihi government resources the Department of Aging, Disability and Home Care to develop and implement structural reforms and target employment of Aboriginal people to increase its capacity to deliver culturally responsive services to Aboriginal communities. The Department of Ageing, Disability and Home Care currently funds 8 programs that target Aboriginal communities specifically. Their flagship program is the Aboriginal Home Care Service, which is the largest provider of community care services to Aboriginal people in New South Wales. 101. Mr. Doughty Hurd, Executive Officer, Disability Council of New South Wales, evidence. The 9th of August 2010, p. 35, 102. Professor Eileen Baldry, School of Social Sciences and International Studies, University of New South Wales, evidence. The 26th of August 2010, p. 6, 103. Professor Baldry, evidence. The 26th of August 2010, p. 6, 104. Ms. Kyan, evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 43, 30. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 5.142. Mr. Moore expanded on the agency's projects concerning the employment of Aboriginal people. He told the committee that this could build our capabilities as an organisation to be able to hear what is being said and translate that into action. He also stated, to some extent, we, as an organisation, need to have a much greater prevalence of Aboriginal staff within our operation. For the past 2 years, we have been running a program of recruiting Aboriginal people to positions, which are training level positions, and then setting them up to see if they can compete for mainstream jobs at the end. We are committed to bringing in around 90 staff a year into that program within our group home network. We are also doing a similar thing within Aboriginal home care. 105. 5.143. Minister Primrose also identified other ADHC services specifically catering to the needs of Aboriginal people. In addition, the Department of Ageing, Disability and Home Care has a range of Aboriginal-specific services and programs that target Aboriginal people. Examples of these include Department of Ageing, Disability and Home Care Early Intervention Services and Intensive Family Support Services for families with young children, community participation programs for school leavers as well as programs for carers and older carers. The Department of Ageing, Disability and Home Care has also established the Aboriginal Service Development Delivery Directorate to provide leadership, coordination, and support across the agency to bring about systemic, structural reforms to improve aging and disability services for Aboriginal people now and into the future. 5.144. Ms. McAlpine acknowledged the challenges associated with making our services individualized enough and culturally appropriate enough to ensure that Aboriginal communities receive the best benefit. 106. Ms. McAlpine identified that this is a process the department is still working through. We have been running some flexible accommodation packages in the northern region to support Aboriginal people to remain within their communities. It does not look like any other accommodation service, and it is completely individualized to meet their needs. That is the direction we are trying to head in. 107. 5.145. In relation to improving the provision of disability services to Aboriginal people, Mr. Griffiths suggested that there is a real opportunity to do some training, and I mean more than about bush tucker and BBQ stuff. He stated, I am talking about meaningful engagement about disability and the different way it is talked about in Aboriginal communities. People might go into a community with a brochure saying they are a disability service provider. Many Aboriginal communities will not understand what that means, and will be nervous about what might happen if they engage with the provider. Even the notion of services, for want of a better. 105. Mr. Moore, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 26, 106. Ms. McAlpine, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 25, 107. Ms. McAlpine, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 25. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 31. Legislative Council - word, foreign in many ways. Many people do not understand the idea of going outside community to get support. 108. 5.146. Ms. Regan recommended that ADHC should implement different and innovative approaches to ensure that Aboriginal people and those from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds are able to access appropriate services both specialist and mainstream. 109.5.147. Mr. Griffiths identified a local area coordinator model of service delivery as a model that is working well in some Aboriginal communities. It is used by the Western Australian Disability Services Commission and involves a person located in community who effectively acts as an advocate. They do not really have restrictions on their role. They become conduits and linkages for people to access services. 110.5.148. Ms. McAlpine identified that changes to the Aboriginal Home Care Service have resulted in more people from Aboriginal communities receiving culturally appropriate home care services. 111. Changes were made to the assessment system, which now has an Aboriginal person taking the referrals and going out to meet the person and link them to the local home care branch. 5.149. Ms. Kyan expressed disappointment that Stronger Together has not delivering for people from NESB. 112. She stated that implementation of this policy may have caused further inequity for people from NESB with disability, since the more money you invest into a system that is inequitable, you are actually increasing the inequity, because the people from NESB are not getting the benefit of the additional funding. We are not even getting onto the waiting list for the additional placements. There are some small pilot projects in Stronger Together, but in comparison with the amount of funding, it is hugely inadequate to address the needs of people from NESB with disability. 113.5.150. Ms. Katra Kiss stated that ADHC Fund Carers New South Wales to provide part of the Older Parent Carer program for Aboriginal communities, which has been successful through not only just employing Aboriginal people, because we have also employed non-Aboriginal people to work in that program, but to have some targeted responses and to really work within the local communities to work and partner with other Aboriginal and culturally and linguistically diverse providers to really work with different models of service provision to those different communities. There are pockets of good examples out there. It needs to be more across the state. 114.108. Mr. Griffiths, evidence, the 27th of September 2010, p. 37, 109, submission 30, p. 3, 110. Mr. Griffiths, evidence, the 27th of September 2010, p. 36, 111. Ms. McAlpine, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 25, 112. Ms. Kyan, evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 44, 113. Ms. Kyan, evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 44, 114. Ms. Katra Kiss, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 53, 32. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 5.151. Professor Baldry identified that everybody who works in these systems and who is likely to work with Indigenous families and people with a disability needs to have that cultural competence as well. 115. Professor Baldry undertook some work with Associate Professor Sue Green to look into the take-up of the services by Indigenous communities and their attitude. They found that once workers' attitude changed when working with Indigenous service users, and that there was an assumption that the service users would want to see an Indigenous worker. The impression that many Indigenous people that we spoke to had was, you can't be bothered making sure that you know how to work with us appropriately. So, everybody who works in these systems and who is likely to work with Indigenous families and people with a disability needs to have that cultural competence as well. 116.5.152. Professor Baldry also recommended that resources need to be directed to schools where there are a number of Aboriginal children with disability. I think the money is also needed in schools. There is absolutely no question that we need much better education attention in schools where there are a number of Aboriginal children as to how to work with those children who have a disability in whatever form it happens to be, and for it to be able to be recognized, because the signs are not going to be the same necessarily. 117.5.153. Ms. Sharon Marie Llewellyn, Regional Manager, the Benevolent Society, stated that the capacity of Aboriginal people needs to be supported so that they can support their folk, rather than it being outsourced back to the mainstream services where that may not be culturally appropriate. 118.5.154. The MDAA identified that the following recommendations would improve access of people from NESB to disability services: free access to interpreters for ADHD, provided and funded services, develop translated material in partnership with multicultural communities, run a social marketing campaign to promote the rights of people with disability, and to promote the concept of rights and services to multicultural communities, incorporate diversity measures and outcomes in all program guidelines, develop and implement equity benchmarks to look at quality of service outcomes for people from the NESB with disability, build the internal capacity of ADHC to integrate diversity in core planning and invest and staff capacity to work with people from NESB with disability. 115/ Professor Baldry, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, pp 6-7. 116/ Professor Baldry, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, pp 6-7. 117/ Professor Baldry, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p7. 118. Ms. Llewellyn, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p28. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 33. Legislative Council - invest in building sector capacity to be more culturally competent and capable of working with diversity. 119. Committee comment 5.155. The committee acknowledges the current gaps that exist in the provision of culturally appropriate services to Aboriginal people and people from NESB with disability. The committee notes that these gaps have resulted in the underrepresentation of Aboriginal people and people from NESB in accessing disability services. 5.156. The committee notes success of the Western Australia Local Area Coordinator model of service delivery and believes that, if relevant, it should be considered for implementation in New South Wales. 5.157. The committee acknowledges the large disparity that exists between the percentage of people from NESB with disability in the community compared with the percentage who access services. The committee further notes that there is currently only one advocacy organisation funded by ADHC that provides services for people from the NESB with disability. The committee questions whether one advocacy organisation can provide for the advocacy needs of the number of people from the NESB with disability that may require assistance accessing services. 5.158. The committee acknowledges ADHC's cultural competency strategy and the ongoing work undertaken to improve the availability and accessibility of culturally appropriate services to Aboriginal people. 5.159. The committee notes that the agency has implemented some programs in an effort to improve the availability of culturally appropriate services to Aboriginal people. The work that is being undertaken by ADHC to increase the number of Aboriginal staff in the organisation is also recognised and commended by the committee. 5.160. The committee agrees that more culturally appropriate information needs to be developed and made available to relevant communities. The committee also agree that the lack of free interpreter services to people with disability from the NESB is a barrier to them receiving services. 5.161. The committee believes that all staff need to be able to work with Aboriginal people and people from NESB with disability to ensure that these people have an appropriate level of choice in the services they receive. The committee agrees with / Professor Baldry that implementing cultural competency training is important in ensuring this happens. 5.162. The committee agrees with Ms. Kyan that it would be beneficial to include diversity measures and outcomes in all program guidelines. 119. Ms. Kyan, Evidence, the 26th of August 2010, p. 45-34. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Recommendation 12. That the Minister for Disability Services consider the Western Australia Local Area Coordinator model of service delivery and implements the model in New South Wales if appropriate. Recommendation 13. That the Minister for Disability Services provide culturally appropriate disability services information. Recommendation 14. That the Minister for Disability Services provide free interpreter services to people with disability from the NESB. Recommendation 15. 2015 that the Minister for Disability Services ensure that all staff in ADHC-funded and provided services receive cultural competency training to enable them to work effectively with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and people from RNESB. Recommendation 16 that the Minister for Disability Services incorporate diversity measures and outcomes in all program guidelines. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 35.